1. You're listening to The Roundup on CBC Radio, and it's time now for the return of Monday Playbill. And we're starting the 2003 season with an old favorite, well, actually new episodes of an old favorite, The Dudley Chronicles. Now, if you missed earlier episodes, here's what you need to know to be up to date. The Reverend Kevin Drzkowski has been the minister of Dudley Church in the very rural Dudley, Alberta, for nearly 2 years now. He recently married his live-in girlfriend, Michelle, who edits a local newspaper, The Times of Dudley. The organist of Dudley Church, Verna, is preparing to go off to her new position as the MLA for Dudley, and she has a couple of problems for Kevin to solve. Today's episode is called The Oomph.
Here's the problem I have with sex. There's not a good word for it. Sex. It's too vulgar. It has a kind of mercenary opportunistic ring. The alternatives run to either the clinical genre, copulation, the biblical genre, lasciviousness, the obscene genre, enough said, or the sentimental euphemistic genre, passionate surrender, carnal embrace, and my personal favorite, making whoopee. The reason I'm even having this discussion with myself is that just lately, Michelle and I have been making an inordinate amount of whoopee. Really, a very excessive amount, I would have to say, all in all, of whoopee. Not surprising. We're recently married. We're in what I believe is termed the honeymoon phase, which, depending on who you talk to, we can expect to last for anywhere from 30 minutes to, say, 8 months. Currently, Michelle and I are on week 3 with no end in sight. And the truth is, I'm starting to wonder how much longer I can keep this up.
Ooh. Woo!
Wow.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, me too.
Okay, well then.
Oh, well indeed.
Oh, you know, one of these days... We have to get out of bed.
We do.
Yeah, we really do.
I know we do.
I mean, we have jobs.
Yes.
We have responsibilities. We have people to see.
Places to go. Oh,
we can't just spend all our time engaged in nonstop, you know.
Looking.
Yeah. You realize, of course, that it's your fault.
My fault.
You do this thing with your voice. You have this tone. It turns my knees into jelly.
I have a tone?
I melt. I'm putty in your remarkable hands.
Is this the tone?
Not quite.
Oh. What about this tone?
Close, but...
No, I've got it. It's this tone, isn't it?
Oh, that's the one.
Interesting. I didn't realize I had this power over you.
Yeah, well, don't let it go to your head.
I've always liked this tone.
Oh, no, please.
I'll have to do it more often.
Oh, my God, you're insatiable.
Yes, sir, I am. Oh.
Eventually, of course, we do manage to exit the bedroom. If only because, at some point, we have to eat.
Well, well, if it isn't the lovebirds. Haven't seen you for a while.
We've been busy.
Yeah, we've been, you know...
Attending to other matters.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So, what can I get you?
I'll have the sausage and eggs.
Make it two.
Extra toast.
Oh, and extra hash browns.
Sausage, too?
Definitely.
Extra sausage. In fact, you know what, Sheila? Extra everything. Damn the expense.
But you're trying to be cute, huh, Reverend? Making a point about how hungry you are, how you worked up an appetite.
Cute? No.
Well, just... you don't have to rub it in. Just because you two are doing the nonstop nasty doesn't mean you got to come around here and lord it over the rest of us. God, that is so typical. No consideration for anybody else's feelings.
Sheila.
No. Don't worry about me, Reverend. I'll be fine. Good old Sheila. Always reliable. Nobody's ringing her bell, but who cares? As long as she gets a sausage and freaking eggs. Everything for the fornicators at table 2!
Oh, my God.
Is it that obvious?
We must have that special glow.
What is it about, you know...
Bothing?
Why are people so fascinated by it?
I bet every pair of eyes in this cafe is on us right now.
Oh. There they are! Hello, you two!
Very nice.
Oh, my gosh. You look exhausted. I guess you haven't been getting much sleep lately.
Yeah. Tell me something, Reverend. Have you been feeling the oomph?
The oomph?
Yeah.
What oomph?
You know, that old story about how newlywed husbands have, like, special powers. Isn't it in the Bible? I think it's in the Bible.
I don't think it is.
What kind of special powers?
They're supposed to be more, you know, robust and with a kind of potent life force.
Well, he's certainly robust. I'll vouch for that.
Anyway.
I've certainly been feeling the oomph.
Is there something we can do for you, Verna?
I'm glad you asked, Reverend. I need your help. As you know, in a couple of days, I'm heading up to Edmonton, up to the legislature.
Right.
And I want to make sure I'm up to date on all the issues and concerns of my constituents. So I'm calling an impromptu town hall meeting for tonight.
Good idea.
Just get everybody together and make a great big list.
Let me guess. You want to hold it at the church?
Is that okay?
Of course it's okay.
And I was also hoping maybe you could talk to Harold.
Oh, no.
But Reverend...
No, I'm not getting involved in your little thing. Forget it.
What little thing?
We've kind of been fighting.
Kinda.
About what?
Verna borrowed Harold's staple gun, and Harold says she broke it, and Verna says it was working fine when she gave it back to Harold, and so Harold must have broken it.
It was working fine.
I don't want to hear it.
Can't you just talk to him, Reverend?
Of course he'll talk to him.
I will not.
If it's important to you, Verna.
It is important. It's very important.
It's a staple gun.
He'll be happy to talk to Harold, because after all, he's not only your minister, he's your friend.
Thanks a bunch, Reverend. I know your time is pretty tight these days, what with all the afternoon delight on your schedule. Oh, there's Patsy Borden. Patsy! Just the woman I want to see!
Are you insane?
Kevin.
Michelle, it's a staple gun.
Of course it's not a staple gun.
It's not?
Are you dense? The staple gun is a surrogate.
For what?
For the real issue.
What's the real issue?
Don't ask me. That's your problem, not mine.
Everything nice I've ever said about you, I take it back.
No, you don't.
All of it. Every single word.
After breakfast, we manage not to immediately resume our marathon of love. Instead, we go to work. Michelle to the Times of Dudley and me to the church. A huge, neglected stack of paperwork is waiting on my desk. And so I roll up my sleeves, take a deep breath, and plunge in. I'm just hitting my stride when Phyllis, the short order cook from the Dudley Cafe, appears at the door.
Reverend, you got a second?
Phyllis, what a surprise. Come in.
Jeez, I didn't think I'd catch you. I thought you'd be home in bed or something. Get it? In bed? Get it? Bed? In bed?
Yeah, that's very funny, Phyllis.
So anyways, I need to talk to you, Reverend.
What's on your mind? Ooh, that's a nasty cough.
Yeah. I got a rash, too.
Uh-huh.
All down my back.
Oh.
And, around to my front, yeah? And all over my legs and stuff.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I got a lot of physical problems, Reverend. There's, like, I got a stomach thing,
mm-hmm.
And my knees all wrecked, and my arms all wrecked, too. And also, my liver is like, doesn't work anymore.
That's awful.
Yeah, and also my kidneys.
Your kidneys don't work?
Yeah, and there's other stuff, too, a lot of other stuff that doesn't work.
Well, can I get you a glass of water or some... thing.
No, thanks, Reverend.
Oh, Phyllis, maybe we should take you to a hospital. What do you think?
Okay. I was just thinking, like, maybe I could get a hug.
A hug?
It would sure make me feel better, Reverend. Because, like with all my stuff that doesn't work... I just been feeling really blue, just really sad and stuff.
Mm-hmm. She looks at me with her big, watery eyes. She's up to something. Not only is Phyllis a well-known hypochondriac, but she's got the worst poker face in the history of Western civilization.
Sure.
Great!
And in a nanosecond, she's out of her chair, around the desk, throwing her arms around me and burying her face in my chest.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, you can let go now, Phyllis. And of course, just at that moment, the door opens.
Oh,
Michelle.
I'll come back later.
No, 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 wait, Michelle.
No, that's
it's not.
True,
it's,
that's okay. No,
wait. Phyllis, let go.
Okay. Thanks a bunch, Reverend.
You bet.
Wow. Do I feel better? Anyways, I better go. Let you two get back to your tiddlywinks.
Okay, then.
Bye, Phyllis.
I'll let you go bake those cookies.
All that stuff, right?
That was Phyllis.
So it was.
She wanted a hug.
Well, who can blame her?
She's up to something.
Phyllis?
I don't know what it is, but I don't trust her.
Don't be ridiculous, Kevin. I'm sure she just wanted a bit of, you know, the oomph.
Oh, very funny. What do you want?
Me? Nothing. I just thought I'd pop by, say hello. After all, it's been what?
45 minutes.
Really? Is that all? So much longer.
She's trying to look innocent. It's not working. The expression on her face is pure, filthy lust.
Michelle!
What? Nothing.
I have to finish this paperwork.
I know. Me too. I just came by to say hi.
Well, hi.
Hi. See? That's it. That's all I wanted.
Great.
Okay, then. I'm going now.
Bye.
I'll see you later, Kevin.
Hey. Oh, that's not fair.
What?
You just did the tone.
What tone?
The tone. The tone.
I did?
Oh, stop it.
Wow, it really does work.
Okay, all right. We'll just take a quick little break.
Good plan.
Just a quickie.
Yeah, just a couple of minutes.
Oh, come on, I'll race you to the mats.
But just as we're leaving the church, Verna appears.
There you are, Reverend. I thought you said you would talk to Harold.
I will talk to Harold.
Well, can you get on it, please?
Verna, it's been 45 minutes.
Well, I just ran into him in town, and he wouldn't even look at me. Just brushed right past me and took off in his truck. I can't go to Edmonton with this dark cloud hanging over me, Reverend. Can't you go talk to him now?
I give Michelle one of my patented "this is all your fault" looks, at which point she gives me one of her "okay, so it's not ideal, but neither is life" looks, which in turn prompts one of my "I don't care what life is like, count me out" looks, for which I am, of course, rewarded with one of her famous and oft-employed "get over yourself and don't be such a selfish jackass" looks, which, as always, wins the argument, hands down. Do you know where he went, Verna?
I have a pretty good idea.
Come on, then. Let's go.
Verna takes us to a spot by the river not far from town. She says it's Harold's favorite place. He goes there when he wants to be alone. And sure enough, after we park the car and walk through the trees, we see him out in the river, ankle deep in running water. He's bending over and swishing something.
Hi, Reverend. Hi, Michelle.
Harold, what are you doing?
He's panning for gold.
I'm panning for gold.
Really?
Why is he panning for gold?
It's what he does when he's upset.
Okay, can I just say for the record that I've seen Harold upset several times, and never once has he panned for gold?
It's one of the things he does. Come to think of it, you're right, Reverend. He hasn't done it for quite some time now.
Can I make a request? Can you not talk about me as if I wasn't standing right here?
Since when is there gold in the Dudley River?
There isn't.
It's a fair question, Michelle. And all I can say is, you're guaranteed to miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right.
You want to give it a go?
No, thanks.
It's very soothing.
Harold, look. Verna is very sorry about your staple gun.
No, I'm not.
She's devastated that it somehow got broken.
Oh, I don't care about that, Reverend.
You don't?
Heck, it's only a staple gun.
Well, that's my point, actually.
Kevin.
I mean, just buy a new staple gun, am I right?
Oh, no, that would be far too easy.
Verna, please.
Tell him he's not fooling anyone.
Tell her I don't want to hear it. Tell her to keep her opinions to herself.
Tell him if he wants to say something to me, he should say it to me.
Tell her nobody asked her to come out here in the first place.
Tell him.
Okay, that's it. Verna, come with me.
Hey, Kevin.
What are you... Reverend, let go.
I grab Verna by the wrist and haul her out into the river.
Hey.
And then I grab Harold by the wrist.
Come back.
And I force them to look at each other.
Kevin, what are you doing?
Now, the two of you,
are going to stand here in this river and make the hell up. I mean it.
Do not get out of this river until you're friends again.
Reverend.
Okay? I'll see you back in town.
Reverend! Wait!
I've got nothing to say to her.
Start talking! Come on, let's get out of here.
So, what was that? Some new kind of counseling technique?
Yeah, it's called river therapy.
You think it'll work?
At this point, I really couldn't care less. Now, where were we?
We were taking a break.
Right.
We were heading back to the mat.
That's right.
In fact, I think we were running.
Once again, we managed to work up a healthy appetite. Just in time for lunch at the Dudley Cafe.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Hi, Sheila.
You two are going to end up in traction if you don't slow down. What do you want? Make it fast.
Well,
my day wasn't crappy enough already.
I'll have the...
Actually, you know what? Don't even bother. As far as I'm concerned, you can both starve to death. By the way, Reverend, what in the heck you do to Phyllis anyways?
What do you mean?
She's been acting all funny since she saw you.
Funny?
What do you mean, funny?
Funny strange or funny ha-ha?
I mean... Funny? Funny? You better go talk to her. Phyllis! The Reverend's here to see ya!
Oh, God, what now?
Off you go.
And so, I head into the kitchen.
Reverend! Great! I was just thinking about you.
What's up, Phyllis?
We better go in the meat freezer.
Sorry?
Come on. What? It's more private.
And so, against my better instincts, I go into the meat freezer. With Phyllis.
Whoa, don't close that door.
It's okay, Reverend. We're not locked in here or anything.
You don't find it a little dark?
Hang on. Light switches over here. Ow!
Careful!
Oh, no, I'm sorry!
No!
I'm sorry! There we go!
Wow. Is there ever a lot of meat in here?
I know. It's one of my favorite places.
So what did you want to talk about?
Okay. So, remember this morning when I came to the church?
Uh-huh.
And I told you about my rash and my bad knee and my bad arm and my bad liver and my bad...
I remember, Phyllis. What about it?
And remember how I had that really bad cough?
Phyllis, I...
It's gone, Reverend. Ever since you hugged me.
What?
All my stuff's working great now. It's a miracle, Reverend. You healed me. You healed me!
I knew she was up to something. Suddenly, I have a knot in my stomach.
You're not serious.
I can hardly believe it myself. Must be all that hippity-dippity you and Michelle are up to. It's giving you special powers. You know, like that oomph.
Phyllis, I'm going to say something to you. It's very important. I want you to listen carefully and not interrupt me, okay?
Okay.
Are you out of your freaking tree?
It's true, Reverend. You heal me. You can't deny it. I'm cured. I'm cured.
Stop it.
Woohoo!
Stop it.
Hallelujah!
Stop it. Phyllis, you're wrong. I did not heal you.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
It's the truth, Reverend.
The truth. The truth, Phyllis. The truth is that you're mentally imbalanced. You're a nut bar. A fruitcake. You should check yourself into the loony bin.
You're just teasing
us. God, I have to get out of this meat freezer. For the love of God, let me out of this meat freezer.
Just press that thing there, Reverend. It's a miracle, Reverend. There's no need to be modest.
And so I find myself smack in the middle of a worst-case scenario. I've seen what happens in Dudley when the forces of religious hysteria are unleashed, as they periodically are. It's a nightmare. Eventually, after several stiff drinks and a long hot tub, I manage to calm down and formulate a plan. What I need to do is nip this in the bud. And that night, Verna's town hall meeting provides the perfect opportunity. The church is packed to the brim with people. I stand over at the side with Verna.
Wow, nice turnout.
Doesn't surprise me. People in Dudley are passionate about their politics.
Since when?
Now, Reverend, here's how it's going to work. You'll be the moderator. You'll introduce me, and then I'll talk for a bit, and then you can field the questions and comments from the floor, okay?
Is Harold coming? I don't see him.
I don't think he's coming.
Why not?
I think he's busy.
Verna?
I think he's otherwise engaged.
How did it go today in the river?
Well, fine.
You talked to each other?
Uh-huh.
Everything's back to normal?
Sort of.
Sort of?
Kind of.
Verna?
I tried, Reverend, but he was so stubborn, and then we started yelling at each other, and then I left.
All because of a staple gun.
It's not about the damn staple gun, Reverend. Are you dense?
Hey.
It's about this.
This?
Politics, Edmonton. Harold feels left out. He's jealous that I've got something interesting and exciting in my life, and he doesn't. And instead of being happy for his best friend, instead of being supportive, he's acting like a three-year-old.
So are you saying he's still out there panning for gold?
I don't know where he is. And you know what else? I don't care. Now, if you don't mind, Reverend, I'd like to start this meeting.
Unbelievable. Shaking my head, I walk up to the pulpit.
Okay, everybody, we're going to get started now. Everybody?
Good to see you all. This really is an extraordinarily large turnout. Sure would be great to see this many people on Sunday morning. I guess Myrna's a bigger draw in these parts than God is. Or I guess more to the point than I am. Anyway, here's the agenda. I'm going to talk, and then Verna will talk, and then we'll have questions and comments. Now, I see that several of you have your hands raised. We'll take questions later, okay? I promise. I'll let you know when. In the meantime, you can all put your hands down.
That's not what they're doing, Reverend.
I'm sorry?
They're not asking questions. They're witnessing.
Witnessing what?
They're receiving the holy food, Reverend.
And there we go.
They want you to come on down and give them all a big hug. It's a miracle. Hallelujah.
Okay, everyone, pipe down. Pipe down.
People, you've been had. Phyllis has not been cured. She was never sick in the first place.
Us too.
She's an addict. Instead of drugs and alcohol, it's salvation and redemption. She cooked up this whole thing in her ridiculous brain. Believe me, there is no oomph. There are no special powers.
Actually, Reverend, I beg to differ.
Sheila, please.
No, really. I got nothing to say. Okay, everyone. So here's my story. Okay, so lately, I've been feeling totally hopeless and lonely and, like, suicidal, right?
You have not.
Shut up, Reverend. I'm witnessing. So then, today, after the Reverend comes in the cafe, I get this call from Corby. Corby Duncan. He's this guy I partied with one time last year, and he tells me he wants to hook up. I know. And so, guess what? I'm meeting him out at the Coachman later tonight. I know. And the best part of all, he is like this total wizard in the sack. I'm serious. This guy, he's like a champion. You should see him. He does this thing with a box.
Sheila!
I'm just saying!
Oh.
Thanks to the Reverend, I am going to be doing the wild thing all night long!
Everyone looks up at me, waiting for my response. Whoosh! It's like a tennis match.
Okay, let's talk a little turkey here, shall we? I want you to give me some proof right now. Proof that I performed a miracle. And I'm not talking about Phyllis's fake recovery or Sheila's night of sordid pleasure. I'm talking about a real, honest-to-God, bona fide, dyed-in-the-wool, miraculous occurrence. If you can do that, we'll talk. But until that time, huh, are you with me?
They nod, every single one of them.
Proof! Right now! Let's have it.
Total silence. They look at me. They look at each other. They look at the floor. And just as I'm about to grin in triumph, declare victory, and hand the pulpit over to Verna, just at that moment, a whole new player runs onto the court.
Reverend! Reverend!
Harold, I should have known. And now, whoosh, everyone's looking at him.
What is it, Harold?
There's gold!
What?
Gold! In the river! I've been pulling out it all afternoon. It was you, Reverend! Soon as you walked in the water, it just started coming. It's a miracle!
And this is where I blow it. The heads turn and look at me. And in that one critical moment, I can't think of a single thing to say.
Gold!
I sit in the deserted sanctuary with Michelle, who, of course, has witnessed the entire sorry spectacle. I'm so depressed.
Don't take it personally, honey.
You know what I should do? I should just give up the ministry and go into, you know, farming.
Oh, you'd make an excellent farmer.
Shut up.
What happened to Verna?
She went home. She didn't look happy.
I don't blame her. You wrecked her meeting.
God, what is it with this town?
It'll blow over. They'll discover that the gold is actually, you know, granite, and everyone will go home and get drunk.
I'll give you $100 if all of this stays out of the paper.
Are you kidding?
Michelle, you can't encourage them. You can't. We have to work together on this.
500.
What?
$500 and it never happened.
200.
400.
300.
Done.
I can't believe I resorted to bribery.
You know, you were pretty impressive up there tonight.
Really?
You were very firm, very take charge.
Yeah, for about 3 seconds.
It made me feel a little...
What?
You know, faint. I was practically swooning.
Yeah, I'll bet. Wait, hang on. You have to stop this.
Why?
Because it's obviously the problem.
You think?
We're unleashing the forces of chaos into the atmosphere and everyone's getting infected. Maybe if we stop, everyone will, you know, just... You see what I'm saying?
Interesting theory. Let's stop tomorrow.
Good plan. Come on, let's go. But of course we don't stop. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not the day after that. Because, after all, in the end, what we're doing is research. We see it as our solemn mission to come up with a decent word, a proper descriptive phrase, such as the bed boogie. No, that's not it. Picking apples. The big wow. The beast with two backs. Doing your laundry. Cultivating friendship.
The Deadly Chronicles are created and written by Greg Nelson. In the cast, Richard Side plays the Reverend Kevin Drzkowski, Jillian Fargy plays Michelle, Lee Taylor is Harold, and Bridget O'Sullivan is Verna. Sheila is played by Tabitha St. Germain, and Phyllis is played by Donna Carol White. Original music was composed and performed by Brian Tate. The script consultant is Dave Carley. The recording engineer, Chris Petras. The associate producer, Dagmar Kafunkanen. The producer and director is Kathleen Flaherty. And the executive producer is Damiano Pietropaolo. Tomorrow on The Roundup, Bill Richardson is back, and you'll hear his conversation with piano teacher and performer Sarah Buchner. She's just relocated to Vancouver from New York City, and she'll talk about her love of piano music from the movies, as well as her own eventful life. That's all the time for The Roundup on this Monday afternoon. I'm Andrea Hunter. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your afternoon and evening.